The world's 1 billion Catholics will be watching as Pope Francis canonizes two previous popes this Sunday, the first time two popes will be declared saints in the same ceremony, and an historic event for other reasons. John Paul II, who was pope just before the previous Pope Benedict XVI, will hold the record for the fastest saint to be canonized in history. And some Catholics are questioning whether he should become a saint at all for failing to take action in the priest's sex abuse scandal. Then there's John XXIII, who opened up the church to the modern world in the 60s with Vatican II. He's being elevated to sainthood with evidence of only one miracle instead of two. NPR's Sylvia Pagioli is with us from Rome. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
And we should say both of these popes, despite some questions, are beloved. Start with John Paul II. He was credited with helping to end communism and reinvigorating the church with global outreach, especially to the youth. When he died, we heard those cries of Santo Subito, make him a saint immediately. Remind us why he's so loved.
Well, you know, first of all, John Paul II took the papacy out of Rome. He became a globetrotter. He traveled to every corner of the world. He was the first superstar pope. He had a background as an actor in his youth, so he really knew how to command the stage globally. He understood very well how to use mass media to the benefit of the Catholic Church. He was basically one of the key figures of the end of the Cold War. He was shot and almost killed by a Turkish gunman in St. Peter's Square, and then John Paul made a dramatic gesture and went to Ali Agca's jail cell in Rome and pardoned his would-be killer. Of course, John Paul is credited with helping bringing down communism first in Poland, then the rest of Eastern Europe, and later in the Soviet Union. In some sense, he became a spokesman for human rights, denouncing repression in many countries. And he was the first pope to call leaders of all religions to pray together in Assisi. He was the first pope to visit a synagogue, the first pope to visit a mosque. And much to the dismay of many in the church, he issued an unprecedented apology for the sins of the church against Jews, against Christians. He's also seen, however, as the pope who put an end to discussion and imposed a very tough discipline on many issues that had been opened up by the Second Vatican Council, for example, on sexual ethics, on liberation theology, and married priests. So it's a mixed bag.
Well, Barbara Blaine of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, the group SNAP, she told the Boston Globe that they think it's sinful for the pope to be made a saint so soon because of the sex abuse scandal. So does the church respond to comments like that?
Well, there have been many critics of the canonization of John Paul, as you said, about the speed and also for his record on those issues. His defenders say that aides may have kept the information from him. Others believe that John Paul may have believed the charges were a plot and a slander against the church, similar to those by communist authorities in Poland. And that may be the reason he simply did not attribute the necessary attention to the sex abuse scandals.
Well, that debate will continue even after this weekend's ceremonies. Let's move to Pope John XXIII. He served from 1958 to 63, an icon of the progressive wing of the church. He launched the reforming Second Vatican Council, opening the church to the modern world. But in this case, Pope Francis waived the required second miracle for his canonization. Some are saying that this is sort of an olive branch that Pope Francis is holding out to progressives. Remind us more of what John XXIII means to those progressives.
Well, John XXIII, who's known here in Italy as the good Pope John, really is a 20th century giant of the Catholic Church. Here in Italy, it's still very common to see in certain places, you know, in cafes and bars, there's often a photograph of John XXIII. He really is very dear in the memory of the city. He was not necessarily a liberal in the modern sense, but he was certainly a man who understood that the church needed to confront itself with the modern world. He was deeply loved for his humanity, his humor, and his smarts. And by simply opening the Second Vatican Council in 1962, he set in motion what is perhaps, many say, the most important event in the Catholic Church since the Reformation. He had a very optimistic outlook. In his opening speech, he spoke against the prophets of doom, always forecasting disaster. And he had a very enlightened attitude toward leadership. One of his most famous lines was, "See everything, overlook a great deal, correct a little." And he also had a great reply when asked how many people work in the Vatican, saying about half of them.
But again, we have in the case of one of the popes, maybe a speedier canonization. And in the case of John XXIII, a canonization without the required two miracles. I'm going to ask a question, Sylvia, that we want to be very tender about. We are, you know, talking about people's deep faith. But is there a sense that the church is maybe relying less on past requirements that two miracles be approved and certified? Is the church maybe moving away from that requirement towards acknowledging someone's lifetime?
Well, actually, you know, the lessening of the obligations actually started with John Paul II himself. He's known to have made more saints than all his predecessors put together. Up until before John Paul, you could only even start sainthood procedures 50 years after the death of a person. And four miracles were required. So he changed it. He reduced it first to 10 years. And then in the case of Mother Teresa, reduced it to 5 years. So, you know, that's already the loosening of the obligations of the requirements have already happened some time ago. And I certainly think that with Francis waiving the required second miracle on John the 23rd, it's really a nod to the fact that, John the 23rd was pretty much revered already. And I think there's much, much less emphasis now on this whole miracle business. The idea is to create unity, to bring together the two wings, the traditionalists and the liberals of the Catholic Church, to make everyone happy.
I guess I was asking, do you think the Catholic Church, when you talk about this whole miracle business, is there less of a belief in miracles?
Well, it depends where you are. In a city like Rome, it's very hard to say, because even though the seat of the Catholic Church is here, it's probably one of the least mystical, maybe least spiritual cities. You don't feel it very much. And in fact, I find that even the way the Vatican has been presenting all this, there's been much less emphasis on the miracle aspect of this whole story.
Well, meanwhile, the feeling in the city this weekend will be pretty extraordinary. More than 2 million Catholic pilgrims, heads of states, diplomats from 54 countries are expected in Rome. And we're reading about busloads of tourists coming, but also, Sylvia, a group of Polish pilgrims going to travel 2,000 miles on horseback, dressed in medieval costumes in honor of their native son, John Paul II. So whatever you feel other times of the year, what are you feeling right now?
Oh, it's getting very, very crowded. I was around St. Peter's Square 2 days ago, and you could hardly walk. It was so crowded. I remember for the funeral of John Paul II in 2005, there were masses, perhaps 2 million people. Many were sleeping on the streets. This is just a one-day event, so I don't think that will happen. Friday is a holiday here in Italy, the liberation from Nazism and fascism. I think many, many Romans are already skipping town and taking advantage of a nice long weekend.
NPR Sylvia Poggioli on this weekend's canonization of Popes John Paul II and John the 23rd. Sylvia, thanks as always.
Thank you.